We went this morning. Pastor Brad taught about talked about the word of this year for 2024. And what was that word?
Thrive.
Thrive. How many of you have already felt like you have the Lord speaking to you on a certain area, just out of curiosity? Okay, a few of you. All right. Well, we're going to really try to talk about the details of this word this evening, thrive. And, you know, when we were discussing the moving into this year and what that word would entail and what it would mean for this house, sometimes the Lord gives us more of an impression than an actual like word. It's like a concept, but you know, it's very hard sometimes to present a concept to, you know, a paragraph to people. So then you're trying to take that paragraph and put it into a word that embraces all of those things. And so, you know, there were a few things that were throwing around, but it just wasn't capturing the depth, or it just wasn't capturing the right essence of what we really wanted to present. And some of those things were because this word thrive, one of the things that it carries with it is it's personal. It's personal. And that's one of the things that we really felt in our spirit this year, was it was a personal word. It wasn't necessarily a word for the corporate body. You know, sometimes you have words that this house is going to do this year together collectively, or this is going to be the, yeah, breakout. But you can have breakout individually too. But thrive is something that you really have to, just as he used the example of the plant this morning, a plant is rooted and has to root itself, go after the water, go after the nutrients, and that plant begins to thrive itself. It's not based upon necessarily how the whole garden is doing. Each plant has its own section that it's planted in. And depending, you could have an area that might be a little bit lower, and so it's collecting more water, and that might affect that plant differently than on the other side of the garden. And so every plant can be different. Well, each one of us are individuals. We all have gone through life in different stages, different places, different things have happened. And so God is speaking, I believe, to each and every one of you on what he's wanting you to thrive in this year. And the strength of this church rides on the back of the strength of the people. And so that's really a lot of the concept or the idea of going into this word thrive, because we know that each person is hearing from God what it is. And sometimes, you know, people don't really realize that they're actually hearing from the Lord. They just think that, yeah, I need to change this in my life, and they don't realize like that's God telling them to do something. That's God speaking to them, like this needs to be a priority in your life. And they're just kind of shrugging it off like it's an option, you know, and they're just like, you know, I don't feel like it, or it's not really, you know, in my vision right now, or I don't feel like doing that right now. But the thing is, God knows what you need, and God knows what's going to help you progress, and God knows what's going to elevate you and bring you to that next level. So when he speaks to you, then we have to be obedient and quick, as Pastor Brad said this morning, quick to respond, because the urgency of that word could keep us or launch us into the next level, into that next thing. Sometimes we're like, well, I want to go here. I want to do this. And he's like, but I need you to deal with this first. I need you to deal with this inner thing, this outer thing, whatever it is, body, soul, spirit. Those are the three areas in our life that we have to look at. And many of us may have one of those things like A+ and top shape, like this area here is just, it's going great. Like my spiritual walk is just A-okay, or my physical health is terrific. I'm in great physical health, or emotionally, my soul, like I'm doing well in my career and my soul. I'm balanced. I'm keeping things there. But this over here, we don't talk about that. We try to keep that on the back shelf. You know, we don't want to talk about my physical health health or my spiritual health. You know, let's focus right here on what I'm good at. And we tend to do that sometimes. But the thing is, it's the thing over on the back shelf that might be the very thing that's keeping us from that next level. So let's get into the word this evening of on thriving, because it really does focus on you personally. And I really wanted to emphasize that before we got into it, is this has to do with you. It doesn't have to do with everybody else. In fact, don't think of this word and go, you really need this. Don't be doing no elbows tonight, okay? Don't be jabbing nobody going, yep, that's you. That's what you need to do. This is for me, for my personal life. And this has to do with longevity. So as Pastor Brad said this morning, this is for life. This is the long haul. This is what God is speaking to you to really hone in on this year, because it has to do with longevity. It has to do with the impacting your life. So whatever it is, we could have 50 different words in here. We could have 50 different focuses in here. That's why Pastor Brad can't give you the word you're supposed to focus on. It's because it's between you and the Lord, and you probably already know that area that he's kind of been giving you that nudge in. But it has to do with your next level, and it has to do with longevity, and it requires obedience. It requires obedience. So let's pray this evening. Father, we thank you so much for a body of Christ that's going to thrive this year. And Lord, we pray that even as we go through this word tonight, that there would be clarity, that there would be an understanding of what you're speaking to each and every person, that we can know without a shadow of a doubt that this is the very thing you're calling us to, that you're walking with us, that you're giving us the grace that's needed for each step along the way. So we receive it in advance. We thank you, Father, that your strength is coming upon this body for that purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to John 15. Okay, stick your pin there and go to 1 Peter. I just changed my mind. That's what that was. Go to 1 Peter. Do we have scripture in the back? Yeah. Can we pull that up in Amplified? Don't know. I have it written out in Amplified. So if not, that's fine. I'll read it from my paper. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. And if you don't have Amplified, you can just listen to it, because Amplified uses a lot of words that kind of break down words so that you can get a bigger picture of what it means. So it might be harder to follow in another version. So 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. It says, be sober, well-balanced, and self-disciplined. Be sober, well-balanced, and self-disciplined. Be alert and cautious at all times. That enemy of yours, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, fiercely hungry, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, be firm in your faith against his attack, rooted, established, immovable, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being experienced by your brothers and sisters throughout the world. You do not suffer alone. So the part I really want to focus on first is that be sober, well-balanced, and self-disciplined. Why? Because you have an enemy that's walking around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And so we've got to look at this and say, okay, what is he looking to devour? Those that are not balanced and self-disciplined. See, the devil loves excess. The devil loves something that's out of whack and out of balance. Because when we're out of balance, we feel it in our lives. You know what I'm saying? When, like I said earlier, body, soul, spirit, we might be doing great in one area. And in fact, we'll tend to put that strength ahead of things. And we'll be like focused here and make ourselves feel really good because we've got this one figured out and kind of shun the other one that's weaker and not put as much emphasis on that. But the problem is when we're out of balance, that other area will eventually catch up with us. We might be able to handle it for some time, but the enemy is looking for someone that's out of balance or someone that's not self-disciplined. And of course, we know one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. There's a reason for that, because self-control means that you're not allowing things to just rage, or you're not allowing emotions to go all over the place. You're not allowing just whatever you're feeling to rule your life. You are keeping yourself under control and under the thinking of the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit has the fruit of the self-control that we need to exercise. And so the enemy tries to get us out of balance. And of course, being out of balance in life is, I mean, it's a constant thing. It's like, it's not like anybody ever reaches the prime of it and says, okay, I've got it all figured out. I figured out the balance to everything. Watch me juggle it. There might be some people that look like they've got it figured out on the outside, and it might look like they've got all of these things, just, you know, everything's just in order. But I tell you what, most of the time, those people on the inside, they feel chaotic themselves. Because something it always feels out of balance. Whether it's they've got the outside looking good, but maybe on the inside they feel like I don't have my home like in order. I don't have my kids aren't in order. My marriage isn't in order. My job isn't in order. My spiritual life is not in order. So somewhere along the way, something tends to be out of balance. So we have to pay attention to those moments and say, okay, what's out of balance and how do I need to bring it back in? So this is a walk throughout our whole life. So don't get all excited and say, okay, well, there's going to be this moment when I reach it and I don't have to do anything else the rest of time. Because I'm gonna get there. I'm just gonna arrive and then I'm gonna sit and I'm just gonna be. Because there are things that happen in stages. Kids come into the picture, they grow up, they leave home, they get married, then it's a different stage in life, and then it's like, okay, how do I deal with this? How do I deal with them being gone? How do I deal with new time on my hands? How do I deal with new baby now? You know, how do I deal with grandchildren? How do I deal with a new job, a new career, a new ministry? All these things can come in, and it can kind of throw our wheels into a different speed at times, and we've got to readjust and reevaluate. So this is a constant thing in life that we have to look at and do. Are you with me? Are you following? Okay, two people. Awesome. All right, so body, soul, and spirit. Learning to thrive and learning how to follow the voice of the Holy Spirit during these times. Now, it takes intentionality. Because you really have to be willing to go places sometimes that the Holy Spirit wants to take you, and you might feel like kicking and screaming a little bit. Because sometimes you want to focus over here because, you know, this is the outside and, you know, everybody knows this, but what about this over here on the inside that nobody knows about and I don't feel like sharing that. But it's a problem I've got with my inner self, and I don't want to deal with it. And the Holy Spirit's telling me to deal with it. And now I got to go there? No, I'd rather go over here. But the thing is, God knows what we need at the moment for the next level. And we've got to be able to trust him. We have to trust the process of walking with the Spirit, walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And so even here when it says that we're to be balanced. We're to be in a position of self-control, keeping things in a place of self-control so that the enemy doesn't come in and throw things out of whack in our lives. You know, sometimes anything in our lives can go from one extreme to the other. Like, we would all agree that spending time with our family is a good thing, correct? But if we did nothing else and we spent all of our time with our family and we never went to work, well, then there's a problem. We could say, well, our health, working out at the gym, that's a good idea, right? It's a good thing. But if that's all I do and that's all I focus on and it's out of whack and it's out of balance, now it becomes a problem. Rest is an important thing, but if I only sleep and I do nothing else but sleep, then it becomes a problem. So everything in life has to have a balance to it. There's got to be a modesty about each element that's good in life. And so we've got to learn to understand that there are times we need to scale back, and then there are times we need to push forward in something. But each one of us have to face those things. Spending money is another one. Some people may have an issue spending too much money on things. And then there's others that can grab a hold and keep money to themselves and never spend anything because they're operating out of a fear of not having enough. And so each one of these things we have to look at and look at the root of it. Where is that coming from? Why is that? Why am I dealing with that? And how do I need to deal with it in my life? And so there's all kinds of things that we can maybe face in life that the Lord puts his thumb on. And it might not always be comfortable. But we have to, if we're going to grow, if we're going to thrive, then we have to get ready for it. We have to be willing to go there. We have to be willing to go there. So now turn over to John 15. I feel like there's a little bit of that convince me. Convince me that I really need to do this. John 15. It says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. I'm starting at verse 1. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. So let's stop here for a second. No branch can bear fruit in and of itself. It has to be attached to the vine. The vine is Christ. And so if we detach ourselves and we're just trying to do things on our own, we're not going to be fruitful if we're not attached to Christ. And that's why I'm saying, follow the voice of the Holy Spirit. If he is telling you to do something, then do that at the time that he's telling you, because there's going to be a grace on it. And that's why even this word this year, I believe there's going to be a grace for you to make these changes if you follow the voice of the Holy Spirit. There was a time years ago, before we even had kids. I spent 2 or 3 years, I actually smoked cigarettes. I know, my kids didn't even know that. This is the first time I've ever shared it. So everybody's eyes are like, oh, Pastor Miranda. I wasn't always good, you know. But the Lord spoke to me during that time and told me, if you give this up now, I'll give you the grace to quit. But if you don't listen, you're going to be on your own with it. And I was like, I took that seriously, because I was like, there's going to be a strength right now for me to stop this. There's going to be a grace that comes on me to be able to quit this, But if I don't listen, then I'm going to be on my own. I'm going to have to do it in my own strength. And so I did that. And I listened to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And the only reason I'm sharing that tonight is because I believe that this is a year that if you will allow the Holy Spirit to grace you with the strength to do what he's asking you to do, that grace is going to be there. And you're going to, what would have been difficult in and of yourself is going to be so much easier with the strength of the Holy Spirit. But if you refuse, then it can be harder later. So I just shared that piece of my life for you. You guys are so precious. I'm sharing stuff I've never shared before. I know. He's like, what else do I not know? What else do I not know? But we see here in this passage of scripture, let me finish reading it first. It says, no branch can bear fruit in by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So I want to stop there for a second, because we see in this passage, we see four different areas. We see no fruit at all. We see fruit. We see more fruitful, and then we see much fruit. There are different levels of fruitfulness, and God wants us to be the most fruitful we can be. He wants us to bear much fruit. So God's not wanting us to just have a few grapes on the vine and say, oh, that's good enough. Oh, you know, you look like you're thriving because you have all of these branches. Have you ever seen a fruit tree or vine or something like that? It's supposed to be bearing fruit, but it doesn't have any fruit on it at all. And it looks like it's healthy, but it has no fruit. But it's supposed to. Well, that's exactly what Jesus saw when he saw the fig tree. And it didn't make him happy. He cursed the thing and it was dead the next day. So he thinks a lot about fruit. And he wants us to bear fruit in our lives. So if we refuse to hear his voice or to respond to his voice, then he's not going to be happy if we reject what he's saying to us. Or if we just shrug it off, you know, it's just an option. I don't have to do that. You know, it's up to me whether I do that or not. When in actuality, he's saying, I'm doing this for your own good. I'm doing this so that you can actually bear much fruit. I want you to bear much fruit. And if you read on through the passage, it actually talks about how he wants us to be in joy. That when we bear much fruit, it's for his glory, but it's also for our joy. And so he wants us to be complete in joy. If we're bearing fruit, don't you think that's going to be a joyful thing? We're going to be excited when we bear fruit. We're going to be excited when we produce. But if we're just existing and there's no fruit coming out of our life, that's a bit discouraging. It's like, I'm doing all this work. I'm doing all of these things. And it's not, there's no fruit there. So what's going on? Because see, the Lord can actually keep us from bearing fruit if we're not allowing him to prune us. So that we'll finally step into the pruning process and say, okay, go ahead, prune me. Because the plant needs to be pruned. I don't know how many of you garden, but there are plants that have to be pruned in order for the fruit to be able to come on and yield heavily. Tomato plants are one of those things. You could get all kinds of branches that come off of a tomato plant. And you would think, and sometimes it's some of the hardest things to do, because you're going, I feel like I'm taking away more tomatoes, but you're actually not. Because if that thing keeps, you know, vining off with more branches, it's actually going to sap more of the energy of the plant. And that energy is going to go into the growth of the branches and the leaves rather than the fruit. So part of the process of that plant is taking away what you call the sucker branches that suck the life or suck the energy out of that plant. So you go through and you spend a lot of time going through all the tomatoes, taking off and clipping off all of those sucker branches so that it can actually produce more fruit. And so God once says, he says, there are some branches that have no fruit. Those I'm going to cut off. Those I've got to get rid of. It's like those sucker branches. I've got to cut those sucker branches off. Why? Because they're not doing any good. They only pull energy from the plant, but they don't produce anything. There are some things in life that we have to cut off because it's dead works. We're doing it, but when you look at it eternally, it has no value to it. There are times in life when we have to cut certain things away because it's not producing any fruit, and it won't ever produce fruit. It has to be cut off. Then there are some that actually it produces small fruit. It might produce some, but it's not going to produce a lot. So he says, I want it to produce much fruit. So I want to trim it back and prune it. Not cut it off, but prune it so that it will produce much fruit rather than some fruit. So we have to allow God to do the pruning process. And of course, you know, he comes out with those pruning shears. You ever see those? Sometimes they're cute and little and, you know, they're this big. And then sometimes they're this big. And it takes like double duty because it's both of your hands because the branch is thick and you really have to put some muscle behind it. Sometimes he comes out with the little handheld. And we're like, oh, okay, yeah. Trim back just the little twigs. Get the dead stuff off. But then he might pull out those big things. And then we go running. No! Not that! But the thing is, it's always for our good. It's always for more fruit, much fruit in our lives. Sometimes he cuts off the diseased parts. See, there's the dead parts. There's the parts that produce maybe a little fruit, and he wants it to produce more fruit. You know, I heard the other day that a peach tree, I just planted one last year, so I'm not real familiar with peach trees, but I did hear that a peach tree, in the beginning, you have to, like, prune off, like, 40% of the tree, like, once it gets to a certain point. That's, like, half the tree almost. Now, in our lives, can you imagine that? Like, we're going along, and then we're thinking, oh, things are going pretty good, you know, and I'm really starting to look good. You know, it's like the seed that the sower sows, and then it says that it looks like it's growing, but there's no fruit on it. The plant's actually growing, but there's no fruit on it. And sometimes we can kid ourselves into thinking, oh, things are going really good. You know, it looks great. And then all of a sudden, God comes out with the pruner set, and we're going, no. But the thing is, he's getting us ready for the next couple years where we're going to have much fruit. Amen. And so he starts lopping a bunch of stuff off, and we're going, but I was looking really good, and now he's cutting this stuff back from me, and now I'm having to, sometimes it makes you feel like you're starting all over. Sometimes it makes you feel like, man, I've been a Christian this long. Now it feels like I'm back in the baby stages again because he's working with me on this. I didn't even know that was there. I thought I got rid of that. And now we got to deal with it again. I thought I dealt with that. Why is that there? Because sometimes you might have gotten pruned in the beginning, but the whole thing didn't come out yet. And because of a new situation, it brought out some new stuff. I was listening to Joyce Myers the other day, and she was saying that early on in her ministry, the Lord really had to prune her in some areas because she was leading, if you know anything about Joyce Meyer's ministry, she was leading these women in a Bible study in her home for, you know, a few years. And she had quite a few women, and it was going really great. It was growing and all of that. Well, then one of the ladies decided that she would be a better leader. And so she started talking about Joyce behind her back to some of the other women. And the other ladies started going, yeah, we think you'd be a great leader too. So they started following her. She said it was the most hurtful thing. She said, that was probably one of the hardest times for me. where it felt like the people that were trusting in you and you were trusting in them, and then all of a sudden they shifted, and now they're following someone else, and now they're not putting their trust in you anymore, and they're speaking poorly about you? She said it was so difficult to go through. But she said, you know what? If I would have never went through that, I would have taken them on into the ministry with me. And they could have really hurt the ministry, because she's got a worldwide ministry today. So sometimes things happen to show the realities of maybe someone else or what you're really in. So don't take everything as, well, this is just terrible. Sometimes things need to be exposed for your good. She had to do some forgiving. She had to do some heart changes herself. She had to deal with that. But even bigger than that was the fact that the Lord was actually protecting her future. So sometimes we have to trust the Lord in the process. He was actually protecting her from diseased branches, which is the other area that God can cut off. If there are diseased areas in our lives that will spread the poison, I dealt with that last year in my garden. The tomatoes had a disease that it kept going from. I tried to stay on top of it. I'd go out and like pull off the branches that had all these little spots on it. And I'm like, man, it's just going from one to another, and it's not stopping. So I pretty much just had to keep trimming them off and hope that I got some of the fruit off of those tomato plants for that year, and just try to preserve as much as I can. But the problem was, it was a disease that was just going to spread, and it eventually kills the plant. But see, God wants to trim those disease things off of our life so that it doesn't poison our heart and poison our whole life. So when he's dealing with things, don't hide from it. Don't say, Lord, I don't want to deal with that, and just act like, you know, it's this suggestion or this option. It can actually cut off your future. It can halt you. It can stop you from walking into the next level God really wants you to walk in. So respond to him whenever he's trying to cut those. And you might not even realize it's diseased. You may not. You might not understand it until later on, and you look back and go, oh, that was diseased. I see it now. I didn't see it then. And then the last one that he prunes off is wild branches. You ever see? In fact, the cherry tree right down here in the front of our landscaping has one. And it constantly grows back. It's like the tree can look real nice, and then you got this one wild branch that grows out the top of, I'm sure you guys have seen it. It's right up front. And it just, it's not even the same tree. But somehow it's gotten engrafted in with that tree, and it just shoots this wild branch out of the top and doesn't mesh with the rest of it. And we constantly have to cut that thing back. Well, sometimes we might have a wild branch that keeps wanting to grow back out, and he's like lopping that thing off. This one thing that just wants to keep getting out of hand, or this one area that just, it maybe it might be a personality thing. You know, Pastor Brad and I, one of the things we've been focusing on is things around our marriage and our personalities, because going to the next level with greater responsibility requires a greater unity in our marriage. And so it's not like we're not on the verge of divorce or anything. We have a good marriage. But it's like to go to the next level, it needs to be stronger than what it's been. So it's like we've got to come into unity even stronger to make sure that the enemy doesn't use little petty things. And so we've been talking a lot about, you know, our personalities and how we tend to, we have our tendencies, our nuances, I guess. And everybody's got them. Everybody has strong things in their personality, but guess what? With the strengths come what? The weaknesses. And we don't like to look at that, do we? We like to look at how wonderful this personality trait is. I can make people laugh. And that's a wonderful trait. I'm not talking about me. I'm just saying that's one trait. And somebody can be like, I could make people laugh. But then sometimes other people are like, man, does he take anything serious at all? He just, everything's a joke, you know? And I remember this one kid in school, and he was a smart guy. Smart, but nobody knew it. Because he hid it behind sarcasm. And he hid it behind this idea of being funny in the class clown. And so we all thought he was just a goofball and wasn't smart at all. And he was actually gifted. And then this was sixth grade. And then all of a sudden, this kid, he starts getting pulled out of class for gifted class in the middle of the afternoon. And we're like, where's he going? He's going to gifted class. And we're like, no way. Him? He's gifted? And they're like, yeah, he scored high on whatever test. And we're like, he doesn't act like it. He acts like a class clown, but that was his cover up. That's what he used as his strength, because he didn't want to look smart. He didn't want to have that title of being the smart one in the class. He got more joy out of being the funny one and making people laugh. But sometimes things in our personality, we can tend to lean in one way, but kind of ignore the weakness and not want to work on that. And so we've got to be willing to do what God's asking us to do, even if it's that wild branch that keeps wanting to have that tendency to jump out there. I'm going to give you a couple scriptures. I'm going to read these to you. Isaiah 32:17. It says, the fruit of righteousness will be peace. Its effect will be quietness and confidence forever. That's the fruit of righteousness. When we choose to walk in rightness, when we choose to walk in righteousness, which is what? The right standing of God, which is the righteousness of Christ. We have the righteousness of God. But when he tells us to do something, then that's part of the righteous walk. We've got to obey that. We have to be quick to respond to what the Holy Spirit's telling us to do. And when he does, there's going to be a grace upon that. Well, what is the fruit of that righteous walk? Peace and confidence. And it says quietness. That's an assurity, a safety place. So when we walk trusting in God that he's going to help us through something, what are we going to get from that? We're going to get peace. We're going to get a surety and confidence. It actually brings us into a place where we're safeguarded. We walk with a peace and a confidence. Our world becomes less chaotic and more in balance. Another verse, Proverbs 11:30, says the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. So the fruit of righteousness is also the opposite of what the enemy tries to bring, which is death, decay, and destruction. And it actually brings life. So when we obey the Lord, then we're stepping into life. We're stepping into a place of being guarded. We're stepping into a place of his shelter and his strong tower. But it requires our quick obedience. See, I'm sure that when Saul was the king and he received the instruction to go against the Amalekites, kill everything in the city, the king, the people, the sheep, the cattle, everything that's there, get rid of them. Did he obey? No. He went in. Him and his men, and it says that they killed all the lame and the diseased and the defected. They killed the people. They kept the king alive, and they kept all of the good cattle, all the good sheep, all the ones that had no blemishes. They were of good stock, and they didn't obey. And then when Samuel shows up, see, the Lord had already told Samuel that I'm upset with Saul because he did not regard me and regard my instruction. And so from that point, the anointing was taken from Saul. And immediately after that, God told Samuel to go anoint David. Now understand, do you think that Saul, in that moment that he's making that decision, thought that this was his final moment? No, it just looked like this. I think I'll keep the good stuff for myself. I think I'll just, the Lord will understand. You know, we're going to sacrifice all the good stuff to him anyway. So it'll just be a sacrifice to the Lord. He'll be so pleased with me. Instead of obeying, and of course, what did Samuel say? That obedience is better than sacrifice. And so the anointing was actually taken from Saul that day. But before that decision was made, I don't believe that he thought that at all. I believe that he just thought, oh, this is just a decision I'm making. It's not going to be that big of a deal. The Lord will understand and will justify it by offering things back to him. So we have to understand that our decisions carry a lot of weight to our future. So we've got to be quick to obey. Quick to obey. The last point I want to make before we go into what this is going to require from us is you got to understand that when the Lord is dealing with you, many times he's dealing under the surface. Before you ever have fruit, you've got to deal with root. There is never fruit without root. Never. You never go out and see a plant and it's growing and it's just growing from the top of the ground and there's no roots at all. Never. There's always roots, and in fact, it's the roots that grow first. You put that seed in the ground, you cover it up, and there's stuff that's happening under the ground, and you don't see it. Now, we can actually see it if we put it in glass today, or if we put it in a napkin, a wet napkin. Sometimes we can see that actually happen. We can see the process of the roots starting to grow. But if you put it in dirt, you don't see that. But the thing is, we've got to realize and we've got to trust the fact that what God's doing on the inside of us is important for us to bear fruit. So we've got to allow him to deal with the inner workings and not just think, no, I just want to bear fruit. I just want the good stuff. I just want to have fruit. I just want to have all the nice looking things that hang from the tree. You know, that's why God says so many times that whenever you grow up, like the mustard seed that's so small, and then you put it in the ground, it becomes this great tree that even the birds can come and live in it. What does that mean? It means that you get to the place where your faith can grow so much that it actually can help other people, and they can find safety and shelter underneath the principles and the faith that you have learned and grabbed a hold of. So your faith, your walk, your spiritual walk is no longer just for you. It actually helps others. It actually shelters and can be a shade, a refreshment to other people. But we have to understand this can also mean our soul. Our soul is our mind, our will, our emotions. What we learn and how we handle those things also will speak to other people. Our body, how we handle those things with our physical health and our physical body, that also can be handed off. So anything we learn in life can become a benefit to other people. You can have great spiritual people. They can be so anointed. But if they don't keep the other two in check, their life can be cut short or they can destroy their ministry because of lack of attention in the other two areas. So we have to be well-rounded. We can't just say, well, I know, 350 Bible scriptures and I can preach an awesome word and you know, that's my safety net. We have to be whole. We have to be whole in Christ. We have to make sure that we're looking at the other aspects of our life. Why? Because of longevity. Because if our health is not good, we will not be able to uphold things for a long period of time. If our emotional health is not good, we won't be able to carry things for a long period of time. Well, if your emotional health is not good, you won't be able to disciple many people because the stress and the burden of that will get to you. If you don't have principles in place to know how to draw boundary lines, then that will end up stressing you and it'll end up causing frustration in your life. So we've got to be well-rounded as people. Well-rounded as people. All right, Stephen, can you get the half piece of paper for me? The one that's a half and give everybody one. What he is passing out to you is, can I have one? When Pastor Brad talked this morning about focus on one, it's because we want to be rooted and established well in one. Not this. How is this different than a New Year's resolution? Because it's what God is speaking to you. Like I said before, if God says this is what you need to work on, this isn't about your 25 goals for the year. That's not what this is. This is the one area that God is putting his finger on and saying, you need to look at this, and this needs to, you need to change some things here. You need to shift some things. Some mindsets need to be changed, or some new habits need to come into play. So this whole concept here with thrive, body, spirit, soul, you can see at the top of the paper, there's different areas. Like, for instance, the body might have to do with eating, nutrition, exercise, regaining health issues, sleep routines, work patterns, addictions, educating yourself on health topics, etc. Like, there's a lot of different things that can come under the topic of body. There's a lot of different things that can come under the topic of soul. And this, by no means, is a list of everything. So if he's speaking something in particular to you, then follow what he's telling you. And then, of course, soul. Oh, shucks, I got those two backwards. Did you notice that? Oops. You guys are smart. You can, you know how to switch that. But down at the bottom, it says, what is the top priority that God is speaking to you to thrive in this year? What is that one area? And how are you going to, what are the steps that you're going to have to take? What are the things that you're going to have to address or take care of in order to see yourself thrive in this area? And that can be different for so many people, because the area that they're focusing on, the area that God is speaking to them on, is going to be different. But I am going to tell you four areas that you are going to have to be ready to address. Each person will have to, if you want to flip it over and write these down, each person is going to require, these four things are going to be required in order to be successful in thriving. And the first one is transparency or honesty. Transparency or honesty. If we are, and that's with yourself and others, but first yourself. If you're not honest with yourself that this needs work, that this needs addressed, then you might as well just crumple that up and throw it in the trash. It's not going to do a bit of good. So you've got to be honest that there's, it's like Pastor Brad said this morning, that we'll never change unless we get frustrated with something enough. Unless we treat something like that's the enemy. That's something that's poisoning my life. This is something that's not good in my life. I have to treat it as an area of a thorn or a frustration in my life. I have to see this thing as holding me back. Therefore, it's got to be put under. So we have to be honest and transparent. Honest and transparent with ourselves first. And then we got to bring someone in later. But the thing is, if you deny it, if you make excuses for it, then it will never change. So the first thing is you've got to mark off all excuses. You can't make excuses any longer. Well, I was just, you know, taught this way. I was raised this way. I was, you know, this is how I've always done it. This is the way so-and-so was in my life. This is, I was a victim here. I was, whatever it is, it's like cross it off, throw the excuses in the trash. We're moving forward. We're thriving. This is not going to hold us back anymore. This is not going to be something that's my excuse for it any longer. In fact, I'm not going to defend it. I'm not going to deny it. I'm moving forward. This is not got a clutch on me. It doesn't have a hook in me anymore. I am moving forward. So exposure has to be something in your life. In fact, the Bible even talks about that. It talks about how we're to confess our sins one to another. Why? So that we can be healed. See, there's a reason for exposing things. Healing actually is attached with exposure, because the enemy will keep us in a place where if he can keep it in the darkness, if he can keep it in a place where you won't admit it, you'll defend it, you'll deny it, and keep it in a place where it's your comfort zone. This is the thing that protects me. This is the thing I fall back on. This is the thing that I use as a crutch. Then it's not going to be kicked out of your life. And the enemy will be able to keep that thing lodged in your life. So we have to be transparent and honest. In fact, Hebrews 4:13 says, "No creature is hidden from him," meaning God, "but all things are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." All things will be exposed at some point. It's no different than the scripture that talks about how every person will bow their knee to Jesus Christ. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's just dependent upon whether you do it now or whether you're going to do it later when it's too late. So we have a choice now. This might not deal necessarily with our salvation, but it does deal with our victory. So whether we deal with what he's pressing on us now, but it will become exposed later at the time of judgment. So will we deal with it now or will we deal with it later? Transparency and honesty. Number two is understanding or knowledge. Understanding or knowledge. John says, it is the truth that sets us free. It's the truth that sets us free. How many have had a revelation of something before, and it's like after that, you didn't have any problem with that issue anymore? Because it was like you got the truth of it. You got the revelation of the truth of God, and so then it didn't have a hold on you any longer. That's what truth does. It sets us free. And so whenever we gain understanding, in fact, turn over to Matthew 13 for a second. Matthew 13, this is after the parable of the sower. I'm not going to read through the actual parable. I'm going to read through the meaning of the parable. So in Matthew 13, 18, it says, "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it," they hear it, but they don't understand it. It says the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. And then it goes on. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it. Choke the word, making it unfruitful. That's the one I was referring to earlier, the plant that grows up, but it's not fruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what is sown. So we see here in the first verse of that and in the last part of it that understanding is key. If we don't understand something, then it's not going to have an impact with us. When we understand something, then it's like, oh, the effect of that now makes sense. I see how it's affecting my life. I see why I'm getting the result that I'm getting because now I understand. So knowledge and understanding is key to that next step of being able to break out, as doctor says, to break out of that place where we're at and into that next level. We have to have knowledge. We have to have understanding. So whatever area it is, then make it, this is your year to understand it. Listen to sermons on it if it's a spiritual thing. If it's something to do with the soul, there's lots of sermons that have to do with things of the soul, with things of our will, our emotions, our heart, our understanding. There's also great men and women of God that deal with physical issues as well. And they will give you understanding. In fact, that's one of the things that we want to do this year on our website, coinciding with this word, is we want to create a resource page on our website that deals with various topics so that whatever you're dealing with, you can go to that page and receive things in that area from people that we trust their preaching, or maybe preaching that's been already covered in here, or verses of healing. If you're dealing with something in your physical body and you need physical healing scriptures, then they'll be on there. If it's dealing with marriage, we're wanting to do marriage classes this year. So it's like various topics that deal with a whole life. And those things are put on there so that you can have what? Quick access to those things. But we've got to receive understanding and knowledge. Proverbs 19:8 says, "The one who gets wisdom loves his own soul. The one who cherishes understanding will soon prosper." If you cherish understanding, you will soon prosper. If you understand, see, you can't just trust everything that's thrown out there on TV. You can't trust what's handed out to you in the stores. I mean, you got to do research because they're putting preservatives and all kinds of stuff in these. You know that there are things that are sold on our grocery store shelves that are banned in other countries because of the preservatives and all the junk that they put in the boxes and the commercial made stuff. I mean, it's horrible. And this is what we're eating on a day-to-day basis. So you have to educate yourself. And if you don't realize it, then you give it to yourself and you give it to your kids. This prepackaged whatever, it's got, you know, chemicals and dyes and preservatives. And after, you know, 30 years of eating that, then it catches up with the child. But by that point, they have an absolute love for goldfish, and it's like hurting their system. I don't know. It's the one thing that kids always eat, goldfish. Oh, they got to be bad. Mac and cheese is not a vegetable. I have to keep telling my husband that, but he's not convinced. But you do have to educate yourself on the things that are impacting or influencing your life. You can't just trust the sources. You know, you have to educate yourself. And then once you realize, like, the truth of something, it can set you free, and then you can make the decisions that are healthy and good for your life. We see a lot of stuff coming out even with relationships and how, you know, the world looks at relationships. And I mean, you know, oh, just live together for, you know, 20 years. Try things out. See how it goes before you get married. That's not how God ordained it, and that's not healthy. In fact, there's evidence that shows that couples that actually get together young, whenever they're in whether teenagers, early 20s, and they get married, they tend to last a lifetime before those that live together and sleep together for 5-10 years before they ever get married. So you have to look at the actual research in the Word of God. The Word of God will always remain true. The third one is accountability. Accountability. And I kind of already covered that with confess your sins one to another. That's in James 5:15. Because there's a healing element that happens when you actually, I mean, how many of you, if you go tell somebody, this is really what I'm working on right now. This is what I need an accountability partner. And you tell them that, it's like, man, that's a scary thing. Don't you think? Because now you just gave them power to call you up and say, hey, did you do this? You just gave them power to confront you if you didn't do it. You just released something into their hands where they can now ask you about your daily life. Did you do your reading today? Did you go to the gym today? Did you, work on this today? And now you just like, you want to hear a funny story? This is sad. But when I was in seventh grade, I had a friend. It's amazing that I even call this a friend. But, in seventh grade, you don't always have the best judgment. But she was like, she didn't use the best language. And she was like, I need to quit using bad language. I need to quit cussing, da da da. So she's like, if you, next time I say something, just hit me. Which is really stupid, right? Your brain cells just are not fully, developed whenever you're in middle school. Middle school is like the most awkward time in your life ever. Physically, what you look like, how you do your hair, and then your thinking, it just makes no sense. So I'm like, okay. So, it was like a couple days later, something came out of her mouth. So, I mean, I hit her. She turned around, she was mad, and she like hauled off and like gutted me. And I was not expecting it at all. And so I doubled over. Well, that was the last time I held her accountable for what she told me to hold her accountable for. But nobody's going to do that in here, okay? No hitting each other if somebody doesn't follow through with something. But Proverbs 15:22 says, plans fail for lack of counsel. Plans fail for lack of counsel. But with many advisors, they succeed. With many advisors, they succeed. So we tend to fall back on our same patterns if we don't allow someone in our life. And I'm telling you, that exposure of, I'm having an issue with this and I need to work on this, that's going to release a lot of it. Because you're now exposing that I'm taking that first step to begin to work on this. And so it almost has this release where the enemy has just had that grip on it for so long. And it's like, that's the first step of being able to make progress. And then when you bring someone else along in that accountability, it really does help. The fourth one, and this, I mean, they're all key. These are all key. But the fourth one is faithfulness. Faithfulness. You've got to stay faithful to it. You have to remain steadfast on what you are choosing to thrive in your life. Any kind of change goes against our nature. And so it takes effort to change the course of that train track or that river that where it naturally flows the easiest or the lowest way. And so to change that, it's going to take momentum. It's going to take motivation. It's going to take the effort. So that's why I say you've got to have steps in place. And they have to be detailed. You have to know. It's not enough to just say, oh, I want to lose weight this year. Okay, how are you going to do that? How many days are you going to work out? What are you eating? What are you have to determine the steps. Be detailed. If you're going to work on your anger this year, how are you going to work on that if that's been an issue? Like, what are the steps that you're going to take? And again, like I said, the truth sets you free. So find out the truth of where anger comes from. Listen to sermons about that. Get to a place where you're working on your emotional health. If you want breakthrough in your finances, then plug yourself around the knowledge and understanding of that. That has to do with principles. So many of financial issues have to do with principles that we put in place. Most people don't have a financial breakthrough problem. They have a money management problem. Because if you give them $20,000 on the year, they're just going to spend it too. And their situation does not change. And they think more money is the answer, and that's not the answer at all. It's how they manage it. And so the faithfulness with sticking to what it is that you need to do to see that victory through, you've got to remain steadfast and faithful. This cannot be something that you just shove in your Bible and, okay, I'm going to write this down. It's got to be up in front of you all the time. And then whenever you maybe it's something simple, maybe God's telling you to start a business and you need to start the steps of that. But whatever it is that God is telling you to do, begin the progress and keep it in front of you. Don't allow it to go under the bed with all the dust bunnies and then you find it in 2026 when you move the bed and you rearrange the room. Oh, yeah. I was going to work on that. I did that for 3 days and lost my paper. Like, put it up on the refrigerator. Make a copy of it. Put it up on your sun visor. Put it up, you know, on the mirror in your bathroom. Wherever you frequent, put it up and see it every single day. Ask the Lord for the steps that he wants you to take to see that victory through. And then faithfulness. I'm telling you what, most people think that everything is just spiritual, spiritual, spiritual. There is an element of, and that's why we chose the word thrive, because there are some words like abundance that we kind of looked at and it's like, that feels like everything's on God's back. But thrive feels more like it's on me. I have to do something about it. It's not, I'm going to do it in God's grace, but I'm not just shoving the onus on God and just saying, oh God, yes, just make me abundant this year. Make me increase this year. Make me do great things. Bring things into my life. Change me, Lord. Just change me. Because it requires us to do something. So thriving has to do with roots, it has to do with nourishment, knowledge, it has to do with watering, and all of these things come through the us doing something about it. And then the grace of God's going to come upon you, and you're going to see yourself through. So make sure you're bringing people along with you on this journey. Don't just keep it to yourself. Have a trusted person in the congregation and encourage one another this year. What is it you're thriving in? That should be a common thing in this house this year. What are you thriving in? How's your thriving going? Are you thriving in that? How was your week this week with thriving in that? Have accountability partners. Dare to do it different this year. Dare to do it different. Dare to take the steps in that something maybe you've not done before. I've not had an accountability partner before. Maybe that's new for you. Maybe opening up to somebody is new to you. But I'm telling you what, you'll see a great effect if you follow these things. Amen. Did you have anything you wanted to add?
Just you don't have to go anywhere. I'm not sticking around. So you know, I it's interesting because even just some of the things over the last few months that as we shifted into this word, I, you know, Ryan goes to the gym, you know, as an example, and he said, I want you to hold me spiritual. Where is he here? I don't know. He's in the back. Yeah. Hey, Ryan. He's like, I want you know, you want to get back in the gym. So I, you know, and after fasting, he said, I'm going to hold you accountable. I said, shoot me the message. And then Brother Don started, you know, he started sending me a message. I was coming off my fast, you know, but it was like those subtle things like, hey, did you hit the gym today? You know, people don't realize, but that is choosing to be, I'm choosing to be accountable. You know, I can tell people I had this come up. I had three calls I had to deal with today, or I had to do this, or I had to do that. But you begin to be accountable. So accountability is important. And, you know, and Miranda touched on even with the marriage and in relationship or relationships in general, you know, several months back, I mean, I feel like we've been at this phase in our life, being married for so many years now, we're stopping and examining things in our life. And when we were on Maui, Ryan Kelly and Dr. Kelly, they were like, you guys mind doing something with us, like an experiment? We're thinking about teaching some stuff, and we'd like for you guys to take this test. And so, and what it did, we took this, and then it caused us to begin to examine our, it's not, you know, for us, we're trying to figure out, it's not just our personalities that we're trying to figure out. We went into another, we've taken five assessments, I don't know how many, you've taken one twice, right? And so, you know, because you're like, I don't know if that's me, I got to take it over again. Any women in the house can agree with that, but you know, we even took an assessment, and it's called the Working Genius, because we realize something about our life, that we're always in a project, we're always working, we're always doing things together. So we were like, we need to figure out, you know, it's not necessarily a personality. We've been married a while, we understand each other's personalities to a point, but we need to learn how to work better together. And so, like, we're assessing that stuff. And I tell you, you got to make things personal. And if there's one thing that you've heard out of today's message, this is going to be a year of personal growth and personal development. I felt like even, you know, hope that that's not coming off hard. But I think at the place, even as tonight as you were preaching, I begin to think about Jesus through the point in which he gets into John 14, 15, and 16, and you begin to see the passion that Jesus had for his disciples and what he was bringing before them and what he was teaching them. He was in that whole, you know, being, you know, I'm the vine dresser. You know, I'm this, the branches, and beginning to see that, what he wants to do with us, how passionate he was. He loves us. And we're going to be passionate in this church, amen? And we're going to help one another this year. I believe that there'll be the things where, you know, and I love the fact that there's accountability. There'll be accountability in our life groups. There'll be accountability in a lot of different areas, amen? In making resources available, amen, to people. And we'll talk more about that as time comes along, amen? We want to make sure the church has the right resources. Praise God. I don't have anything else, so you have anything in closing? Zephan is like, he's so ready to talk to you after church. So.